Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He has become a legit superstar. Tyrese Halliburton had a monster triple-double last night. 32 points, 15 assists, 12 rebounds. Pacers lead 3-1, and it's looking like Pacers OKC in the NBA Finals.
Say what?
Pacers Oklahoma City.
Hold on, I just heard somebody jumping out of the window at NBA headquarters. Ratings are going to be so low. And as we said, the ratings for Minnesota, which is a great, I mean, it's been entertaining at times, sometimes one-sided, but Minnesota and Oklahoma City kind of went, but just totally in reverse from what you got when you had LeBron, obviously, going as far as they did with the Lakers and certainly Steph with the Warriors. You still got to have the brands and the casual fan, like NBA, our listeners know who these guys are, but the casual fan don't know who these guys are.
You got to build it up. You're absolutely right. And look, if you're not playing for one of the storied franchises, you have to have some pizzazz about you, right? The Pacers, and it's funny because Dom, he mentioned this, and look, NBA folks and guys that cover or certainly watch the NBA and ladies too, you may be aware of this. If, in fact, that happens, you're talking about the best defensive team in the league playing the best offensive team in the league. That's intriguing. If right. I told you in the NFL, hey, the best defensive team is playing the best offensive team, didn't we kind of get that a couple of years ago when the Eagles and the Chiefs and the, you know, right. the Eagles had 70-some-odd sacks and the Chiefs were scoring 35 or more a game? Like, that's supposed to be intriguing. But to your point, the reason why it's not is because the NFL is about teams. The NBA is about stars.
Right.
And if you are not familiar with those stars, until they build their brand and their reputation, Tyrese Halliburton's a heck of a player. But the Knicks alone, even if you didn't know anybody on the Knicks, people would watch.
Right.
The Pacers have to create this buzz with Halliburton, Mike, and Pascal Siakam, all these guys, if they're going to win it. And if they do, then maybe, you know, you start to give them a shot. But I agree with you. I mean, that's the issue the NBA may be having. Hardcore NBA fans are going to watch. But it is interesting. Both series now, 3-1. Knicks in a must-win situation. And obviously, game 5 in New York on Thursday for this series.
Interesting. Thanks to a guy that sent me a link to, it's basically tax bills and team performance in the NBA since 2012. So okay. Going back a ways.
Okay.
And the only team that's not in the luxury apron that's actually starting to turn, the worm has turned because they did have to rebuild, is the Pacers. Pacers just drafted right, and they got Siakam. Now, Siakam didn't want to come here. Some people feel that he thought that maybe Tyrese Halliburton was a better option than Trey. Guys always make it about somehow Trey's personality or discount. I don't know what that is. All I know is the Pacers have got depth, and it's a really well-built team.
They do, but they also had more stability. Think about when that was going down and where the Hawks were and the uncertainty of the front office. Like, again, guys talk around this league, man. They all have conversations about what's going on. Is it stable? If I go there. And the Hawks would have had to sell him, just like the Pacers, that this was going to be the place for him. And then they would have had to cut the check. That's what the Pacers did. Siakam, by the way, big game last night as well. He had 30 points. Brunson did have 31 for the Knicks. But, Mike, they had issues scoring. They cut it to 6. That was as close as they got. And then they just couldn't find the buckets they needed late.
That was the thing. Watching it last night. And then the Knicks start chucking those threes up. Like, come on, man. Just, you know, you got it down to like 6 and 7. And I thought shot selection kind of went south. And these are good looks, too. And they were just clanging it. The Knicks got ice cold from three-point range. And, you thought that Cat – how would you rate Cat's performance last night?
Not as good as the other night. He had a double-double.
I mean, it was still solid, but
it
wasn't
feel big.
Exactly. It was at the moments and at times when he was scoring in game 3, which was momentum shifters, and it just didn't happen for him last night. So now the Knicks, look, I'm not saying that certainly the Knicks could go back and get a win. They should have won game 1. That's going to be an albatross around their neck, knowing this series, Carl, should be tied. But the Knicks blew it. You had your chance, and you blew it.
No doubt.
So we'll see what happens at the Garden. But the Pacers, it's funny, Pacers fans that I met up there in Indianapolis, They feel that they were comparing a little bit to the Hawks, and we were a 5 seed that year in 21. They like their chances going up against anybody. Now, at the time, we didn't know it was going to be OKC, but you're right. OKC and Pacers, style makes a fight. Who's going to be watching?
And both teams are deep. That's the other part.
Right.
Hey, man, Braves tonight, no game. It's going to be made up May 29th. They've got some rain and some weather up there in Philly, so a game has been postponed. It's going to be a split day-night doubleheader starting at 1:05 May 29th, so no Braves game tonight. We will talk about what happened last night because I am still disappointed in some of you telling me that Spencer Strider is just fine. He's not.
Well, I mean, this is the reality that we have to live with. And this is something you and I were going round and round about. We didn't have enough pitching in the offseason. And we all, first, get this through your... Get this through your thick skull, some of you Braves fans. We all want to see this team go back to the World Series and freaking win it. But we have to look at the reality. You're betting on, well, if Spencer Strider comes back, and there was no guarantee that Spencer Strider is going to be that guy. You know, he's never going to throw 100 miles an hour like he did. You know, I mean, we'll ask Grant. I mean, what is the foreseeable future with his mechanics? And because last night he couldn't control the slider. You know, I mean, there was a lot of things that just weren't working right. And then the walks and then the pitch count mounted. And that's something we've seen before, haven't we?
More on the Braves coming up. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Let's talk some dogs. We said Kirby had some things to say. He went on the Paul Feinbaum show. Mike, let's hear him talk about, this is Paul Feinbaum, by the way, saying Georgia having Gunnar Stockton as their quarterback, he's not sold. And listen, he may not be the only one. Kirby did hear this, by the way, and acknowledged on the Feinbaum show that, look, I heard what you said, and it just gives us a little bit more motivation. Here's what Paul said.
Fine or not fine with Gunnar Stockton now their starting quarterback?
I would say that's a big not fine. I know the team coalesced around him after the SEC championship game, but I was underwhelmed by what I saw from Gunnar Stockton in the Sugar Bowl loss to Notre Dame.
Yeah, we all were. I mean, now granted, you know, Paul's not going to, you know, give you more than the simple basic take, but he's making good money doing that. But, you know, the offensive line wasn't great. Play calling wasn't great. But the kid, ultimately, he just looks like another Georgia quarterback that's been around, has paid his dues, and is now going to get the shot because that's the way Kirby plays it. Okay. I think that's what Paul was inferring.
All right, so then you can say it. Say it. He's not special. Is that what you're saying? Because that's what you're telling me right now.
I don't know what he is, but I just can't share the enthusiasm that some Georgia fans and the confidence. You know this. You want this guy to be Gunner, Gunner to be Stetson Bennett 2.0, as we said earlier with Mike Griffin. I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, fine or not fine is what they were playing. Obviously, fine bomb, and he said that's not fine. Gunnar Stockton has not shown him enough. It's interesting to hear him say that because I think that's kind of the whispers. I mean, listen, it's Georgia. They're going to be fine. They're going to be in games. They're going to win a lot of games. But it still comes down to this. It still comes down to your quarterback not making the mistakes that he made last year in Carson Beck. And ultimately, can he put you over the top like Stetson Bennett did? And if he can't, then, you know, you're telling me he's just a guy. Bennett was special when he needed to be. And I know we all questioned it, but that's the standard right now, guys. He won back-to-back natties. Regardless of all the things that he played with, we act like he didn't have to make plays. He did.
No, and he gets thrown into the game against Texas, and like he literally like Charlie Brown got his block knocked off in that game. Stayed in it. He won you that one, but that was also your defense. Everybody came together in that one. I just think the Notre Dame game kind of showed you how much Georgia's lost the depth battle since we've gotten the transfer portal in the NIL world, and that's not Gunnar Stockton's fault necessarily. But then the question I'll throw the boomerang at you.
Okay.
You know, would you be more excited about Gunnar Stockton if Todd Monken was still here?
Oh, of course, because I trust
me
Monken.
Too. Me too.
Yeah, I trust him. Kirby responded, by the way, asked the question about how excited are you about Gunnar being your starting quarterback. Annual meeting's going on down there in Florida, but Kirby was with Paul Feinbaum. Here's what he said.
Yeah, I'm excited. Gunnar got the message, man. He got the message. You did your job.
Okay. I have admired you and respected you for so many years.
Absolutely.
I feel like at this point in your career, you need a little help from me.
I appreciate
to get
that.
You to the first game and over the finish line.
I'm glad you did. You've always been. That's why I always come on your show, because I love the fact that you give me that motivation.
He did walk it back, though, didn't Paul? I mean, is this what it takes? Real quick. Let me just, because Carl, you're syndicated nationally. How do I get there? Because I know you don't walk it back.
No.
But a lot of these guys like Jim Rome and Paul, they throw all this crap, and then when the guest comes on the show, they... where you and I, we always say, like, hey, by the way, Kyle, we asked about your commitment.
That's what it is.
You know, we asked if we're going to say something. We're not going to sit there and act like we didn't say it when the guy comes on the show. Just irks me.
Yeah.
It vexes me.
Look, and Kirby made a joke of it, right? He's like, oh, that's why I come on your show, because you always give me ammunition.
Kirby keeps his receipts.
He does. And when he starts that comment, he says, Gunner got the message. He's telling you that Gunner saw what you said. Listen, I hope it motivates him, but I'm with Mike. I don't know what he's going to be. And this idea that, well, next year we got the number one quarterback in the country, Dukes. I don't know what he's going to be either. Okay? We got to slow our roll. We act like Georgia fans. We haven't seen these guys come in. Some have produced. Some have not.
Right.
I have to wait and see. And so for Gunner, not enough sample size for me to say, man, I totally believe. After they won the first natty with
Stetson.
With Stetson. There were still doubts. And the kid goes, I'm coming back. And they were loaded. And he goes, I'm coming back. And everybody's like, well, I don't know if he can do it again. Are you kidding?
We actually had to defend. Actually, Mike and I were very cordial this time around. A few weeks ago, I was screaming at Mike Griffith for not respecting Stetson Bennett.
Yeah.
And thinking that Carson Beck's got a high. Okay. You know, Carson Beck's got to learn to throw it to the guys in the right jerseys. But yeah, man, I'm with you. Look, if Jared Curtis stays here. Because that's another thing. You know, he's all in for UGA now. It changes in about 12 months after sitting on the bench.
Hey, man, what's bigger for the Braves? Is it pitching or is it offense? We're going to tell you what we think when we come back, because this team has been inconsistent and they've got some decisions they need to make. It's Dukes and Bill.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're wondering, best hitting teams in the National League, Dodgers, Cubs, Cardinals, Phillies, D-backs. See, I was on beat right there.
I like that.
You don't hear me say Braves yet. Padres, Marlins, Reds. I'm still on beat. Mets. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then the Braves are there. Here's the thing, guys. What's the bigger need? Because as we see this offense be inconsistent, and a guy hit us up talking about Spencer Strider, and, you know, look, when I said this last night, I said Strider's not back and no offense. That's it. And people got ticked off. Well, what do you expect from Strider? I expect a quality start. He's 0-3. He gave us 4 2/3 last night. I mean, guys, Mike said it. Sometimes you go, well, does he know where he's putting this thing? And speaking of velo, his velocity is not what it was. When you're throwing 99, 100, I'm just here to tell you guys, there's a difference between 93, 95. There's a difference between 95 and 100. So this is the thing that concerns me, and we say, all right, so is pitching or offense more important if the Braves are going to add? We're not one of the better hitting clubs in the National League, let alone Major League Baseball.
Right.
Guys, if you feel like we're going to beat the Dodgers or the Cubs or the Phillies in the playoffs or the D-backs or the Padres who we just saw, we have to score runs.
Right, that's where we get into it. Carl and he laughed. I just did a quick little video. What's up at Mike Bell ATL? And Carl participates. Put him up, C Dukes on Twitter. Where I'm saying, like, I understand, yes, exit velocity has become like just one of these zillions of metrics that everybody applies to everything. It doesn't matter if you don't hit the ball where the fielder isn't. Either you hit it over the fence or you can hit a single, you can hit a double. There's lots of things you can do to move a runner over, Carl. Even a sack fly sometimes works. But, you know, the thing with the Olsen. And the problem with this team is, you know, 2023, that's the outlier. That's the aberration statistically. That is not what this team is. And they've never gotten back to that. Last year, this is kind of a mirror image of last year. We had to grind all the way through just to get to the wild card because the team had struggled to maintain 500. They're not clutch. The pitching is suspect at times. You know, one night, you know, it feels like the hitting's good. Well, then the bullpen lets you down. So we're just not a very complete team right now. Now, you can try and adjust it, you know, certainly at the trade deadline. But with the expanded playoffs, so is half of baseball trying to find the same thing you're looking for.
Yeah, and for me, look, if you're saying we got to add more offense, I almost think it's impossible unless you're trading away some of the core of your team. Right? Mm-hmm. The thing about this is all the guys we wanted locked up are locked up.
Fan favorites, you guys. We got to give this guy the loot. Okay. Everybody's funny. Why don't you like Drake Baldwin the way you like Michael Money Harris? You want to give him a contract?
Everybody's locked up. Acuna's locked up. Riley's locked up. Ozuna's locked up. Albies is locked up. Harris is locked up. I'm just telling you, Riley's locked up. So when you start saying, all right, well, we need to go, are we just going to go get a bat off the bench? Is that what you're telling me? That's not going to help this everyday lineup that has been inconsistent. And as I've said, there are 11 teams better than us, probably in almost every offensive category. And when you start talking about home runs too, Mike, this is another thing. I just want to bring this up because this was another area where we crushed it a few years ago. And listen, traditionally, if you go back and look at the teams that hit the most home runs, they're usually teams at the end of the season that are participating in the AL or NLCS. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers right now have 87 home runs. I just want to put this in perspective. The Pirates, who you probably think stink, and they do, have 39. We're kind of right in the middle at 56. The Dodgers almost have 20-some-odd more home runs than we do at this point in the season. So the point is, Mike, last night, men on base, bases loaded, fifth inning, Olsen, big spot, and you get nothing.
No, and that's – yeah, we're right in the middle. We're 15 right now in the big leagues in home runs, to Carl's point. And, you know, and whether you feel about launch angle or exit velocity or whatever, all I know is 23, that hitting coach seemed to have a handle on all this stuff, and that guy left, and the new guy came in.
Seitzer.
Yeah, Seitzer got, you know, but hey, you know, why, I have no idea. And now you got a team that just doesn't have any clutch. See, I'm not even concerned with the home runs. Just knock these guys in. There's no clutch. And look,
but you should be, because when we led the league in every hitting category, we also led the league in home runs.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. That team that we thought was going to be special and win the World Series, that was what you're seeing right now with the Dodgers. Singles, doubles, triples, home runs, like, because you're getting guys home. We weren't leaving guys on base. Last night, for example, Mike, we left 10 on. We got 5 stinking hits.
But what are fans, you know, expect, or what are you waiting? What are you thinking is going to happen? What are you thinking? You're like, hey, man, you guys are being way too hard on the Braves. We just rolled through Memorial Day. They look like crap in 21. You know where that went. Yeah, but I mean, this year doesn't look even remotely close to what 21 was, with or without Ronald. You know, before you added Jorge Soler and Jace Peterson, Rosario, all those guys, which kind of added some juice. That's the thing where, you know, we keep coming back to it with Olsen. You know, Olsen, if you take, you know, everyone talks about the clutch. You take away the 23 season, he's just not that guy. You know, I mean, we've got two guys from the A's that are just not great clutch hitters. You know, Murphy's actually more clutch than Olsen, if you want to break it down, if you really want to get off in the weeds statistically. But we just don't have that, call it the Freddie effect. You know, Freddie was clutch. And now it's so funny. We talked about this, I think you and I, a few weeks ago. You really miss Freddie in more ways than one. The leadership component, the clutch component, the guy that was always steady in the middle of the lineup. You could move guys around to hit in front of him to get hot, right? And just that's not there right now. And my other beef is, and this I said this earlier in the week, they gave, you know, a good size, not great, great money, but a good size, good contract to Michael Harris. He's just not hitting. He's not clutch. And I love the guy. We all love the fielding, Carl, but I mean, what is Michael Harris going to be? Is he never going to be a 250 hitter?
You're not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
Well, okay. I think, you know, you could say, and I'm not saying this to defend him, does the defense make up for what he hasn't done at the plate? Defensively, he's special. And to be great in at this game, especially at the major league level, you got to be good up the middle. And he does that. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't expect him to hit Mike, and certainly to hit 250, to your point. But that's what I would say as far as Michael Money Harris and how you balance that. The Freddie thing is, look, we didn't appreciate it when he was here.
No, we did not.
He's a top 5 player every single year. And this year's no different. It's Judge. It's Freddie. It's Goldschmidt. I mean, every year, you just talk about this. It's Shohei. He's in there. So that's what that is. It's done. I'm with you. But I need whoever the hell is here to step up that leadership role and take that on. Right. Who is taking the mantle of that? And more importantly, how does that get this offense sparked the way we think it should be? Because, guys, I don't think this lineup is changing. Again, Alex may add some bats. That's why I'm asking you, do you add offense or do you add pitching? I think the pitching, to me, you got to go get some bullpen help. Philly's bullpen's better than ours. I hate to tell you guys this. They're better than we are, and that's another reason why the Phillies are a better team right now than we are.
A couple of things, and before I get the some of these baseball nerds who make these are your excuse makers. It's your lack of balls that enables the Braves to not give Alex the money to spend. Because some of you guys just eat this up like lemming. You know, like, okay, well, you know, can't get them all. Get them next year. You know, you got a team which we thought had a nucleus. Now all of a sudden the nucleus doesn't pass the eye test. And by the way, before some nerd hits me up and going, Mike's still using average as a metric. Harris's OPS is 586.
Not great.
That's brutal.
Yep.
That's brutal, guys. But just getting back to Carl's big question here. You need better help in the bullpen. You probably could use another starter.
Well, and, Mike, let me ask
but
you.
But here's the thing.
Are you going to go add a closer, too? I mean, I say that. Hey, a guy that can close. Not to say he's going to come in and take Iglesias'
when you
spot.
When you look at Iglesias, I mean, let me hear some of you guys make an excuse for Iglesias. Oh, this is just a bump in the road. Guy's got an ERA over 5.
Almost 6.
I mean, he cannot keep the ball in the park. Whether it's a tie game, whatever he inherits in the ninth, he blows it as much as he saves it. So you got to get that under control, and that's a hard thing to try to leverage at the trade deadline because someone's going to put you over a barrel.
No, those
and want some
tough.
Big resources for that. Yeah. And the farm system's a bit depleted right now. So, but you need more bats. You will get Profar back, but if Profar rakes, you don't have him for the postseason.
Yeah, that's the good and the bad, right?
Right. You could actually use another bat to play the outfield right now.
Yeah, I'm addressing pitching, and I'm going to cross my fingers and hope that. Not in this order. Just saying. Riley, Acuna, all of these guys. Olsen, Albies, Harris. Mm. That they're going to do what we expected them to do. And the reason why we're complaining about this, Braves country, is because they're not living up to it. This team's not living up to it right now. And it has nothing to do with last night's loss. Mm. Like, you can tell me all you want. Well, we only lost 2-0. Guys, this has been kind of the road we've been on prior to Acuna coming back. 404-726-0929. They can be better. They should be better, and if it does click at some point, Mike, maybe we take off and we run off 10, 11, 12 games, and all of a sudden it's sparked. But it hasn't happened yet. And remember, early in the season, guys, Riley was struggling, right? I mean, you think about it. When the season first started, it was like, oh, nobody was hitting. We start 0-7, and everybody loses their mind, and rightfully so. Then it seems like, okay, we even things out. But we haven't hit that level that we know this team is capable of, and that is the thing that's concerning to me. And if the team can't do it, the front office has to fix it.
So how do we do that? Knowing that the Braves, look, they've given Alex more money to spend the last few years, but the jump from where we are to the elite to the top five, again, not talking about the Yankees or talking about the Dodgers, but or the Mets for that matter, just are they going to give this man the ability to spend? Because this team right now does not look anything like a team that's going to make a run. You know, and you said it. Strider's back. Acuna's back. Now, maybe some guys, a lot of guys in the text understand you're being way too critical of Strider and that it's going to take 5 or 6 starts for him to get into any kind of a rhythm. That's what they're saying. Not my words.
No. Yeah. That's fine. But he's not back.
Yes.
That's the statement.
Yes, he's here, but
I don't care about how long it's going to take. The reality is what he's giving you right now, he's not back to where we expect him to be. It's okay to say that. If it's going to take 5 starts, so be it. But let's not fool ourselves and be like, well, he was okay last night. Or he was better than the last start. Okay, so we went 4 2/3 instead of 4 1/3. Like, what are we talking about?
Right. And the ERAs, we talked about those are creeping up. We've had some inconsistencies with Schwellenbach. There's a lot of things going on here, man. You know, and
but I got to say this, too, for the nerds. He has yet to have a quality start. Give me 6. Give me less than 3 earned runs. Let's have a conversation. He's not back. Mike, what do we got coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man, a nation, Carl, not just an airline, a nation says we're going to start handing out tickets for doing some of the most annoying things on airplanes that every business traveler knows about. So stay tuned for that. Also on the way, what anonymous coach says Lane Kiffin is not elite? Coming up next in Guy Talk.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What a play is play. Hey, man, a little rain out here, guys. Been a soggy week. Good for grass. But it is kind of funky. Be careful out there if you're on the highways. Because I know we saw, I don't know about you, man, thunder and lightning. I haven't had a good night's sleep in like a few weeks. Thunder and lightning.
You guys have been getting those storms south.
Yeah, man.
I know, yeah, the rain has been, it feels like it's nonstop. I just, and look, we're spoiled because we get great weather here. But it's like, man, is it going to stop raining?
Right.
Hopefully sun comes out tomorrow. Right. And hopefully it'll start to dry up a little bit.
Hey, man, Friday, rain or shine. Dukes and Bell will be live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw.
Yes.
Join the party, pal. I've been up there in a minute. So we'll be having fun and shenanigans, ice cold brew, and we'll be looking for you guys to join the party. Hey, just came back from Indy. No incidents on the flight. Nobody overserved. No knuckleheads. Everybody was polite and friendly. Nice people. So I meant to tell you, you know, you and I always luck into some really cool people we wind up sitting sure. next to on a lot of our flights. The guy, when I flew up to Indy, I meant to bring this up on yesterday's show. Guy, we started chatting. He's a car guy because he's going to race. Guy owned like a bunch of Ford dealerships in Southern California. He's like in his 70s.
Mm.
Got like a 20-acre ranch in like Monterey.
Nice.
Starts showing me his car collection. It's like, wow, that's pretty amazing. He had a freaking DeLorean.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Like he worked.
Restored?
It works? Like 6 miles on it.
Oh, wow.
I mean, insane. And I'm serious. Because it's funny, so we're chatting about, you know, cars and everything. And it's like, what do you got? And I got, and then, you know. I've got one. He's got 12, but it was kind of, you know, but it was kind of neat. We started chatting with the guy and just really cool dude. And of course, we exchanged numbers and he's like, well, have you ever come up to Laguna Seca for the IndyCar race?
I'm
like,
yeah.
Well, I told him, I said, look, let me tell you right now, I call in these markers if you put it out there. I will darken your door, pal, and check that out. But anyway, that was one of the weekends. The reason I bring it up, the nation of Turkey, not just Turkish Airlines, will fine you for blocking the aisle of the plane. If you're one of those idiots who gets up as soon as the plane comes to a stop,
I love it.
They're going to start fining you. Turkish aviation authorities say passengers who stand up early and crowd aircraft aisles while waiting to deplane will face penalties. And a matter of fact, a fine of up to 2,603 Turkish lira.
I like it. How much is that?
That's like $67.
Okay.
But still, a fine nonetheless. You'd have to pay it. But they said, please respect the disembarked. Can I do the same accent I do for Eastern Europe for this? Because it's just over the Balkans, right? Just over the...
Turkish?
Yeah, I mean, similar but different. Just going over the Dardanelles Strait. Small body of water, same accent. Yeah, we'll do it anyway. Please respect the disembarkation priority of
you
the passengers
okay that.
In front of or around you and wait for your turn. The Turkish Director General of Civil Aviation said. Well, it's more like Midnight Run kind of voice. Not Midnight Run, Midnight... What was that movie called? Midnight Express. That, oh boy, there's an uplifter. That was one from the late 70s about a guy. He tries to smuggle hash out of Turkey. I'm looking at Dom, by the way, while I'm explaining this.
Yes.
And he gets stuck in a Turkish prison and all that that entails. Yeah. Not Midnight Run, which is a fun comedy with Robert De Niro and Charles Grodin.
Midnight Run was great.
But anyway, yes, they said they're going to be fining people because it's a thing over there, too. They say that, and again, if you're not familiar with what we're talking about, people that immediately got somebody's butt or their knapsack right in your face, and you know, you're just trying to, you know, at first, if you're not going anywhere, I just wait my turn. Wait till somebody starts to move and they open the door where you can actually, you know, go off the plane, Dom.
Look, if you're at the back of the plane, you're boarding zone 6. You don't need to be standing up as soon as the plane
right.
lands and gets set. Like, right. wait your turn, bro.
People do this all the time. So where did we go? Where was I flying? Oh, I flew to Texas.
Right.
And I'm flying back to Atlanta. And I didn't fly Delta. I flew United, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And the lady at the gate, there's a gentleman, because they were boarding, and you have to get in line, okay? And so, you know, it's like you talked about, zone 1, zone 2, or whatever. And there's a gentleman, a black gentleman, who's sitting there. He's standing there at the gate, Mike. And
right.
she says, sir, you know, you need to get in line. And he's like, yeah, but you called 1 and 2. And she says, yes, but that's the line back there. regardless of where you're sitting, people have already been waiting in line. You need to go. And he's arguing with her. And then she went in. And she was like, is there something that I'm not stating clearly for you? So everybody that had been waiting in line patiently, right. And we're going, bloop, you know, we're bloop, our tickets. And everybody's kind of getting, and we get into the tunnel, and there's a lady that turns back to me, and she goes, I am so happy that she got him straight. Because it doesn't happen enough. To your point about people standing up way before they should, you're in the back of the plane, you're not going anywhere. Or
crowding the gate.
It's time to board, and you're, dude, it's not your time right now.
Right. And by the way, don't take advantage of people who need extra time. You don't need extra time. You're walking. You're in a freaking wheelchair, or you got a leg brace. That's extra time. You're trying to game the system, man. Not cool. Also not cool is having relations with somebody who's then dating Puffy Combs, because it might not be good for your car. Have you heard what happened with this? The latest testimony from Cassie Ventura, and now you have one of Puffy's assistants. Love the name. Sounds like some out of a soap opera. Capricorn Clark.
Yeah.
What's your name, girl? I'm Capricorn Clark. Anyway, she took the stand and basically said that they were going to make Molotov cocktails out of, like, malt liquor bottles and chuck them at Kid Cudi's car if they couldn't get to his house. Apparently, Puffy was really in his bag about, the fact that she had a thing with him.
Yeah. Look, they're trying to – I don't know if you're keeping up with this trial. It's funny because I was talking to a buddy of mine about this the other day, and we were just kind of chopping it up. And I'm not watching, like, nonstop. First of all, it's not on TV. So it's all, you know, reporters – and pool reporters and stuff telling you about what's going on. But, Mike, the prosecution is trying to paint this picture of him as he was an aggressive guy. Look at the kind of things that he did. He went after a guy that she ultimately ended up dating. He, you know, bombed his car.
Right.
This leads us to what we're
trying to establish.
Correct.
Behavior. But I said to Carl,
charging him with.
And look, again, you know, it's America. It's America. You know, innocent until proven guilty. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of creepy stuff. But you're allowed to be creepy, you know, in your home if people are consenting. Now, if they're not consenting, that's when you've crossed the line. But when you start to look at this stuff, no rule in the country says you can't have a gun in your house. You could have 60-gallon drums of lube. Weird, but not illegal.
No,
so, I mean, but the rest of it, again, if there is actual, some people being held against their will, that would be kidnapping. So we'll see. But it is kind of interesting. My cousin had a funny line. Tony's like, whatever happened to Puffy, man? He goes, this courtroom artist, man, they're making him look like Morgan Freeman.
He's aged, bro.
Well, he doesn't have any hair color. He's naturally gray.
He's aged.
But there's you know, you always want to have, you know, it's funny, always smile for your mugshot, always hope they have a good courtroom artist that actually makes you look like what you look like. But it looks like Morgan Freeman in the movie Oblivion. Remember that one with Tom Cruise? Not very flattering. Hey, man, another story about cars. Everyone, you know, who has a problem or an agenda when it comes to Shador Sanders throwing stuff out there, which isn't necessarily true. People were saying, oh, fifth string quarterback, whatever he is for the Browns, a $500,000 Rolls Royce. What's he thinking? Well, it's not his. Mm. It's a car that his dad is thinking about buying. When you're looking at kicking the tires on a Rolls Royce, it lets you drive it around for a little bit. And it's Dion's car. It's not Shador's car. So people obviously got misinformation out there. Dion went up there and basically said, you know, hey, man, you know, you guys are all lying about this stuff. I mean, come on. Y'all got to stop lying, as he said on social media. Apparently, he's debating between this Rolls-Royce or a Bentley Mulsanne. The Rolls goes for about $500. The Bentley goes for about $350K. Nice problems to have.
They are. And here's the thing. Like, we acting like they ain't got money. We acting like Dion ain't done anything. You know what I mean? It's funny because if there was anybody else's son, would anybody care if his dad had become what Dion's become or what he's done in his career? Like, I get it, Mike. But, yeah, if he did it, who cares? At some point, hopefully, knock wood, he gets his second contract and he turns into be this great quarterback. But even if he doesn't, we act like they haven't. His family hasn't done anything.
I'm with you. By the way, Georgia Tech starts their season against Dion in Boulder this
year. Oh, that's going to be a great game.
It's going to be a hell of a game, man. Hey, take a guess because we don't know. It's an anonymous coach. Another one of those, put your name on it, you know, stand up for it. But there's an article that was written this week, an anonymous SEC coach criticizing Lane Kiffin, saying that, he can recruit and, he gets in the portal, but he's not elite, and they point out to their loss to Florida last year as an example of why Lane Kiffin isn't considered elite. I would argue the win over Georgia is his best win as a head coach in college.
No, it is. And look, sometimes Lane gets this bad rap for all the things that have happened in the past. You know, 10 years ago, who cares? What has he done lately? He's made Ole Miss relevant. Right. And I think the Florida game was a Mike, you talk about the schedule. We talk about this all the time with Georgia.
You can't have a letdown. That's one of the things.
That's the thing.
Used to drive me crazy. Georgia Tech would always win a game they're not supposed to. Then, unfortunately, they lose a game they're not supposed to. But that was the case. I will say this.
It was a function of the schedule is what
I'm saying. But Billy Napier did a hell of a job. I mean, we all hate Florida. Sorry if you're a Florida fan, but most of us, if you're can't stand the Gators. But Napier did a hell of a job with that incredibly difficult schedule. And the win over Ole Miss, that was impressive. Hey, man, next up for the majors, we just wrapped up the PGA. It's Oakmont outside of, is that Pittsburgh? And that is the U.S. Open. Have you heard about this this par three on this tournament?
No, I have not.
Par three, eighth hole at Oakmont Country Club will be 290 yards.
That's a driver.
The longest par three in U.S. Open history. Previous longest par three was 300 yards at the same eighth hole during the 2007 U.S. Open. But 290 yards?
So most of those guys can hit their three wood that distance. Can you hit it where you want on a par three? Because most times if you're hitting your three, you're hitting it in the fairway, you're teeing off, and you're just going to be a little bit shorter than what you normally would with your driver because those guys can crush it. That is ridiculous. Though I'm saying, like, seriously, that is a long par three.
I mean, I can't get there from here. I mean, my driver on a good day, Carl can bomb it. Carl can bomb his driver. Mine's about 260 straight and then, or check that, 200 straight and 60 yards to the right, you know, with the slice. But
if you get some roll, I mean, like, I'm curious to see how guys decide to play that. I'd rather be short, Mike, chip up and take a par than try to crush it. And you may be, you know, right or left or past it. It's going to be interesting. But that would be driver for most guys.
It will be funny because, like, Dottie, what's DeChambeau got? Looks like he's got about a 6-iron.
It's true. It's true.
Hey, man, that's your guy talk brought to you by our buddies at Twin Peaks. We'll be up there, guys. Lots of fun and shenanigans. We'll be hanging out over there on Friday. Come and see us and get us off.
We've done a lot of things on this show. That's why we've been number one. One of the things we did on this show, about eight, maybe 8 or 9 years ago, is where is Julio? And it all started with Julio not being at, ironically, Mike, OTAs right, and some camp. Of the things. Yeah, and we were like, hey, where is he at? And we figured he wanted more money, and he did. But Julio and Roddy are sitting down with our buddy Harry Douglas, and you got to hear what they've said about some of the things that happened while they were Falcons. Next.
Where is Julio?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.